Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
Well, I would like to ask for your prayers tomorrow, today and tomorrow, for Jamie. She's coming back from England. She stayed an extra 2 weeks there, and you never know how much you depend on someone until they're not there. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But so she's coming back tomorrow evening. I have to travel over to Columbus. Her plane gets in about 7 o'clock in the evening. So I appreciate your prayers for her. That's a long trip, and I'm just praying that everything goes well in her trip back. And I'm all ready for her to come back. I mean, the house is clean. I cleaned up the house. I bought her favorite food items, so it's there for her. I even put clean sheets on the bed. Did all these things. And so, praise God, I'm just praying that she has a good trip back tomorrow, and I've certainly missed her, and I really lean a lot upon her in the work of the ministry. And so today, in the message that God has placed on my heart, I would like to look at two verses in the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm reading here now Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is His people. Think about that. We're His people here today. And here we're told the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the place of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. These verses are part of the Song of Moses. In fact, there are three songs of Moses: Exodus 15, Psalm 90, and Deuteronomy 32 that we're looking at here. And in this 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, in this song that the Lord gave to Moses to give to the people, and they were to recite it and to remember it, Moses goes through all of the history, how God led them and brought them through the wilderness and all of these things. But most of it is really negative when you read this chapter, because he reiterates how the people were obstinate. In spite of all that God had done for them, they were rebellious. And they failed in many ways. And yet, within that message, you have these beautiful verses here that we're looking at today. Jacob here represents the whole of God's people. And those of us who know him this morning, and if you don't know him today, I'm going to invite you to come to a place of knowing him. But for those of us who know him, we are God's people as well. You are a chosen generation, we read in 1 Peter 2:9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. We sang some words about that this morning. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous, wonderful light. We read in Psalm 32, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, we look at our nation today. In any nation, there's always people who will do evil and practice evil. There's always going to be sin. But when a nation puts God's laws first and seeks to obey God, then the blessing's there. We need prayer in our nation, amen? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So we have a description here of what it is that God did for his people back then, and I also believe today that this is a description of what God desires to do for us, his people, today. And when we look at these events in the Old Testament, we refer to many of these things as typical experiences. In other words, we can look at what happened to Israel, what they went through, and we can see it in the historical context and so forth, but we can also look at it and we can identify with it and we can relate to it because it is sometimes descriptive of our own spiritual struggles and our own spiritual journey of faith. And we find many types and pictures in the Old Testament. For example, when you look at when the children of Israel were in bondage and slavery in Egypt, you can look at that. They needed a way out. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their voice. And the word Exodus means a way out. But when you look at that, you can look at that and you can think about your own life when you were without God and you were lost. You were living in sin and you were separated from God. You needed a way out. There are many people in this world today. They're in that condition where they need an exodus. They need a way out. And then you could look at an example of Israel when they were wandering around in the wilderness. Now I want to point out to you that they were still God's people. But here they were for 40 years just wandering around. And that is a picture of the carnal Christian. What is a carnal Christian? A carnal Christian is someone that's saved, but yet they're allowing the flesh to dominate. And they're not living in victory as God would have them to. Hopefully, that's not descriptive of your life today. Hopefully, you're living a victorious Christian life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, I could not even speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as to babes in Christ. You see, that's what happens. A lot of people get stuck. They make a commitment. They're born again, but then they're just going around in circles aimlessly. They're not making any progress. And there's no spiritual growth. How many of you know today God wants us to be growing? He wants things to be happening in our lives as we look to him, as we follow him. And then another typical experience that we could point to as a type, a symbol, is when God led the people out of that wilderness into the promised land. And that's a picture of the Spirit-filled, sanctified life where the blessings of God are flowing and you have direction and purpose and victory. So all what I'm pointing out to you here this morning is what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He talked about the manna and the water from the rock, and he said in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6, these things happened to Israel as examples to us. See, that's what I'm pointing out here. We look at these and we could see our own lives and our own spiritual pilgrimage and a lot of these things that happen with God's people. And that's what I see here in Deuteronomy. God was speaking directly to them, and yet these things that he says here, I believe that he's speaking to us as well as his people. I would like for you to notice with me for a few moments this morning. God does four things for his people. Four things. God finds his people. Has he found you? I mean, you're here today. I'm praise God, I'm glad you're here today in church. But has God really found you? It says here in these verses we were reading that he found his people. Where did he find them? He found them in a dry place, a desert land, a wasteland, a howling wilderness. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're just in a dry place in your life and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Your prayers aren't getting higher than the ceiling and you're wondering what's going on here, and it just seems like life is just one monotonous cycle every day. God is looking for his people, and often he finds us in a dry place. We've all been there. We've been in a desert land, a wasteland, a howling wilderness. The good news is that God's looking for us. Amen. And it wasn't as if God just happened to stumble upon his people. He was seeking them even when they were in that dry place. God was seeking his people. I thought of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, where Elijah, he got discouraged. Here he was battling King Ahab and Jezebel, and he won a great victory, but after that he got discouraged and depressed, and he runs out into the wilderness, and there he is under a juniper tree. And he just wants to die. I don't even want to live anymore. God, just it's enough. Just take away my life. God is so faithful. He found Elijah in that place, in that dry spot, in that place of despair. And that's the kind of God we served. We serve. Elijah got back on his feet again and began to serve. And you see, all of us were there. Look, this is our experience. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we were all once dead in our trespasses and sins. And we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were alienated from God, cut off from the promises, living in the world without God and without hope. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 2. 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We were all there at one time. Every one of us, that was our condition. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God sought you out? You know, people sometimes say, I found God. No, God found you. God found you. God found me. And that's how faithful he is. The God we serve seeks and he searches. He's like a shepherd that's just searching for that one lost sheep. He's like the woman who sweeps her house diligently until she finds that coin that she's lost. He's like the father who's there seeking to find his son, waiting for his son to return. That's the God we serve. This brings up the importance of prayer. I want to give you a word today. Claim this verse in your life. I shared this with someone this week by way of text. I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. How many of you know there are a lot of things to be anxious about in this life if we allow that to take over in our lives? But the word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the peace of God will guard your hearts. So if you're here today in this service and if you're not saved, I want to tell you right now, you're living in a wasteland. You're living in a howling wilderness. And there's a verse that I really like in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Think about that. It's a tremendous verse. They who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities promise you what they cannot deliver. That's what this world is. This world is a wasteland. There are lying vanities all around. Other translations say worthless idols. Things that can't speak. They can't come to your aid. They can't deliver you. And we're living in times today where we have to trust God. We have to trust God and look to Him. This world cannot deliver you, but God is faithful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was, what? Lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God finds His people. Secondly, notice here in these verses, God encircles His people. Finding us is just step one. Once He finds us, He encircles us with His faithfulness, His goodness, His mercy, His watch care over us. When He encircles us, He's surrounding us. He's defending us. I was reading this morning in my devotion time. I read Psalm 3, the third psalm, where the psalmist says, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." Psalm 34, verse 7. What I want to point out to you, as I was talking earlier about, you know, the context of Deuteronomy 32, God says He will never leave us or forsake us. He promises to be with us always, even to the end. And what we notice here in Israel, in their experience, is even though they were unfaithful so many times, even though they failed so many times, God did not forsake them. I think we sang some words like that again this morning. God's not going to forsake us. He encircles us. He led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When I was reading through Deuteronomy chapter 32, I was reminded of Nehemiah chapter 9. You read that chapter sometime when you get a chance. It's very long. Nehemiah chapter 9 is a long chapter. But it reminded me of this, because in Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah is giving all these ways that Israel rebelled, and they were obstinate and they failed. But right in the middle of that, we find this verse, verse 19. "Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way they should go." And then the first part of verse 10, I love this. "You also gave your good spirit to instruct them." God was faithful to His people. And Jesus, our shepherd, He leads us and guides us. He is the pillar of cloud by day that we need and the pillar of fire at night. He leads us out as we follow Him. And so God, in His faithfulness, encircles us. Number three, let me move on here. Number three, God instructs His people. That's what it says here in this verse. God instructs His people. God has given us everything that we need for our instruction. Have any of you, probably some of you men, have probably bought something and you think, I can put that together without the instructions? Anybody? I remember I bought this entertainment thing or whatever, some kind of shelving stuff, and it's, you know, everything you buy, you got to put it together. And so I thought, I'll just go by the picture on the outside. I think I can put this together. And so when I finish with what I could do, then I notice, hey, there's two extra parts there. I wonder where they go, you know. And I found out that they were very important, and I had to go back and we shouldn't do that. There shouldn't be confusion with God's instruction. God's not the author of confusion. He lays out for us in the instructions that he gives us how to be saved, how to walk the Christian life when you are saved. He gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. God gives us two infallible instructors for our lives. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. Instruction in righteousness. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God says, when God speaks His Word, He says it's not going to return void. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you. Claim this as for your own life. It's a great verse, Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. So God has given His Word, but not just His Word. Here's the second infallible instructor for us, the Holy Spirit. Because you see, there are a lot of people who make an idol out of the Bible, and the Bible says itself says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so we need the Holy Spirit to show us the truth of God's Word and how to apply it and to use it in our lives. Because a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, nor can he, the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus said, when He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, by the way, don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. This is what we need in this day. We need to be spiritually tuned in to God, to God's Word, to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we could be deceived and go adrift if we don't have these two instructors in our lives. And so, let me share with you the last one that I have today. And I'm really happy that this is the fourth one. And this is a great way to end this message today. Because here's what God does for His people. God keeps His people. Can anybody say amen for that? God keeps His people. He keeps us as the apple of His eye. We are in the reflection of God's vision, the apple of His eye. When you use that phrase, the apple of your eye, you're talking about something that's dear to you, something that's precious to you. And the Bible says that He keeps us as the apple of His eye. Zechariah 2:8, He who touches you touches the apple of His eye. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. I like Psalm 17, verse 8, where David said, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. I'm drawing to a close here in this message that the Lord laid on my heart, and I want you to hear this blessing. Listen to this passage. Let this bless you and give you encouragement in a discouraging world. Psalm 121, verses 5 through 8. The Lord is your keeper. Think about it. The Lord is your keeper, not the government. How many of you know that the government will fail us? It has failed us. Our government is working against God and against us. Amen? That's my opinion. The government's not your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. This is a great blessing. If you ever send a card to someone, remember that. You could write some of these verses on it. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I have some good news for you today. God is able to keep me. He's able to keep you. Amen. Our God is faithful to keep us. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And I want to read this and then I'm going to pray. The last two verses of the book of Jude, the benediction. Now to him who is able, listen to this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I talked about, part of my message was about the thief, one of the criminals on the cross. And I love that picture there, and I'm so glad God allowed that to be there, because that thief couldn't save himself. He couldn't get down and do good works or anything else. So aren't you glad today that we're saved by grace through faith? God didn't say we had to jump through so many hoops or whatever to be. No, we're saved by grace through faith. And he who saved us is able to keep us. Amen.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.